Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Soda Yogurt Celebrities, otherwise known as Pop Culture Stars. Hope everybody's doing well out there. I am your...
See what he did there?
You like that, huh? Your plumber at large. Found a new profession today. And fill-in host Dave Atwell coming to you this evening from rainy, arthritic Jacksonville. But I hope everybody's doing fantastic. Got a pretty exciting and fun show lined up for everybody this evening, so we will not horse around with the weather and move right on. I'm going to go around to my esteemed panel, and once again, that's with two E's, not an E-A, esteemed panel. I'm going to start off, as always, in the fine state of Arkansas. Granny Hulkster, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well. My husband and I went up and saw my mom in Kansas for a couple of days over the holiday weekend, and we got back yesterday. She's doing well, and so she needed some help with some things, so we went up there. My husband and I went up there and helped her do what she needed to do and got back yesterday, so...
Hey, I'll tell you what, you've been all over the road.
Good deal.
Here lately.
Oh, yeah.
What was that show, Fraggle Rock, with Uncle Traveling Matt?
Fraggle Rock.
He left. He left and never came back, you know, poor guy. Yeah, you've been all over the United States, for crying out loud. You're all over the place. Bet you got the suitcase with all the stickers on the side of it and everything.
But yeah, I haven't been in every single state. You know, I've been other places, you know, same places more than once, but I haven't been in every single state. So
that's because someone would bite your back. That's beside the point. Hey, we got somebody in the queue.
Yeah, I'm heading that way. So we're going to move up to Indianapolis. While I'm going back into Atwell Manor to click in the next panelist. Tim, what is going on up there with you?
I am doing quite well this evening. And if Mr. Dave Atwell is going to call himself a plumber, then I think I am entitled to call myself a mechanic specializing in brake pads because I just spent a world of time, basically half of a mechanic shift, out in the driveway changing rear brake pads. So there's that, and I'm doing wonderful since that's done, and I'm ready for a relaxing podcast and awesome conversation, so here I am.
Outstanding. You got the Midas touch now. Of course, you might buy
you
money. You remember that. So the young thing didn't
yeah.
kick in on that commercial, right? Outstanding. Well, it's good to have you aboard. I would do California stops for the first week of driving after putting those brakes on because there's always that reasonable doubt, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to head south. We're going to go down here to the Charleston area, and I'm forgetting the damn place again. Nevertheless, as I take some of my Jacoba.
It's Bangamole or something like that.
Yes, whack-a-mole or something. So, Amazing Velvet, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Ravenel.
Ravenel.
Don't say Ravenel either, because we get mad.
That's right. No Ravenel.
Yeah.
Kind of like Swansville and Swainsboro.
Yeah. I'm here.
Oh, man.
I get my results.
It's like
get
the
my
difference between
tomorrow.
Beaufort, South Carolina, and Beaufort, North Carolina.
Beaufort, yeah.
Yeah. Two different places. Two different
exactly.
sayings.
Exactly.
Or you got to whip out your Camp Lejeune here at Camp Lejeune.
Yeah.
You get people all worked up if you don't throw that little French twang in there. Lejeune. So,
in other words, they'll punch you in the face and then lay down and cower afterwards.
Now, what was that now?
See,
I said,
see, well,
so,
well, here's something that I know. I heard what you said. I'm tracking.
No,
with the, I'm right there
no,
with
you. Right. I said, if you, what are they going to do, punch you in the face and then lay down and cower afterwards? Yeah.
Isn't that
okay.
What you're supposed to do? Outstanding.
Well, I guess I got more Irish in me than French. My mom was French. My dad was Irish, so I'm thankful for that.
Oh, man. I don't know. One of the things that's off the list tonight is that movie Flushed Away, because I remember that moment where they said something like attack or mentioned the French national anthem and all those assassin frogs put their hands up like they were surrendering.
That's
the French salute.
Listen, I had an uncle who was in the French Foreign Legion, and he did not tell my aunt, his wife, that he was back in Charleston when the war was over. So he had come home and went straight to the bar down on King Street here in the city. Well, he's drinking, and somebody made mention that the French sucked and they were weak. He proceeded to beat the hell out of everybody in the bar single-handedly. And it took them to get a militia to get him out. The police had to come with everything they had just to get him out of there. And then he made his phone call and goes, "Honey, I'm home. Where are you?" "I'm in jail." I love that story. And my family used to tell it was a legit story. He was a legit badass. He was so strong, he could take his hands. He had little, like, freaking super strong hands. He'd grab you, and he'd be like, "Oh, shit, he can break every bone in my body." I mean, it was
I'm
crazy.
Going to use my left thumb because my right thumb is much too strong for you.
Yeah, pretty much. But he was a legit badass, bro. I've heard so many stories over the years, and my dad would go, "Yeah. Nobody messed with Uncle Johnny. Johnny was the man."
Yeah. Wasn't it Joe LeDuc, the wrestler that used to pull buses, the Canadian strongman?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe LeDuc. Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't wrestle.
He was
with
a legit badass, too.
Yeah.
Oh, he was strong
as
shit. He was a legit badass. If you want to fight now, oh, you better run. Wrestling, he was a dribbling chance.
Yeah.
But he made money because he was put with the right people. He was put with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. He was put with Gary Hart. I mean, he had all the great managers. And, you know, he couldn't talk flip either. But, you know, he made money. They made him look good, that's for sure. He was horrible.
Because they,
you know, that's...
He had pulled a bus with his teeth or something like that. Then they matched him up with Patera and Tony Atlas and all those guys for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-Atlantic. So.
Yeah, Patera hated working him.
For
yeah.
Outstanding.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back
cool.
again tonight, brother, as the planes fly over. And I'm going to move back up to Indianapolis and hit up with my anchor man up there, my good brother Todd. What is happening, man?
Hey, it is another day, and I'm outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here, and absolutely shocked and amazed that sent a note last week as we were wrapping up and a suggestion for a show. And to tell you people, here's the whole reason I sent the note. Yesterday I jumped in to say, "Hey, do we got an idea for tomorrow?" And I looked at the last thing posted, and it was an idea for the show from the week prior, and I was like, "Dude, we have a plan." I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah,
it's
a rare occurrence, man. It's right there with eclipses and stuff, man. I mean, it happens, but not often.
So since we have a plan, let's see how this can fall apart, because this is like, you know, this is like we could possibly lose here. Yeah,
you'll fall down a rabbit hole. You know that.
See how long it takes to get the flavors of Hamburger Helper again, you know?
Yeah.
No,
right.
I kid you not. Okay, so here's the rules. Folks, there ain't many of them, but we got a couple. 1980 and prior and before, 1980 and before, movies that have stood up well.
That are still watching.
And I mentioned in the green room, one of the movies that's off the board here, and that was just, I was pretty sure it was out of the loop. I didn't realize how late in the decade it had been made. But with Spaceballs, and it was 1987, I was like, man, I know that's an 80s movie, but I was like, damn, that was almost 1990. So there's not a whole lot that's off the table, but there are some things off the table.
What's
now,
off the table? I don't know.
Before we get too much into it, anything can be on the table, right? Today is the 55-year anniversary of the premiere of Star Trek. So, there's a prime example of what we're getting at here when we're talking about things that still hold up. You know, though it's not a movie, it's a TV show. You could turn that stuff on and still get into it, appreciate it, just as much as you could back 55 years ago when it premiered. So, that's kind
of
what we're getting at. Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And, you know, it really set the tone for a lot of things, you know what I mean? It was the one thing that kind of got the imagination stirred up, and a lot of times I know there's the Star Wars folks would burn me at the stake for saying it, but perhaps Star Trek did have a little bit of influence on George Lucas's mind when he was putting together his wonderful life-changing saga and bringing forth model citizens like Jabba the Hutt and Darth Vader and Emperor Palpatine to the forefront. Employee of the month.
I figured he came out with Jabba the Hutt at a Walmart.
One of my favorite Star Trek episodes. One of my favorite Star Trek episodes.
Trouble with Tribbles.
Was the trouble with Tribbles.
Did you not hear me call that? Look at that. How awesome is that? I just called it. I don't know if anyone heard that.
Very good.
That was one of my favorite Star Trek episodes, is The Trouble with Tribbles.
Yep.
Now, how do you remember in Wilmington when they actually had one of those Tribbles there at the show?
Oh, yes, I do. That was good old David Fights.
That was Fights that did that, as a matter of fact. So... we need to get a hold of
here. I tell you, there were a lot of people that just had to check that damn thing out. That was funny because that's when they had that deck of the Death Star set up in the opposite corner where the Star Trek cable was. And I forget the ship that Dave's assigned to. But sure enough, they had the Star Trek guys over there petting the Tribble, and all the Star Wars guys were over with Star Trek petting the Tribble. And the darn Star Trek guys were doing photo shoots on the passageways of the Death Star with the Star Wars guys. It was pretty awesome. It was its own crossover.
So, you know, it can actually come together. Not often, but it can be done, you know. So, I hope everybody brought their lists. Now, Todd, I know you were pretty excited about this evening's show, but I'm going to go ahead. Ask you to lead off tonight. Hit me with a movie you got on your list.
Oh, man. I'm going to start out with something, and I hope people have got the chance to see how they pulled off some of the effects and stuff like that. I'm going back to 1939. I'm going to go to The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, wow. You butthole. That was going to be mine. Dang it.
That will be happening off in the night. So,
and I know someone.
Oh yeah, but I mean that one to me was a pretty obvious choice. It from so much the like I said, the documentary to see how they set up the twisters, the whole, you know. Is that really, you know, can you really play Dark Side of the Moon to it and all that kind of stuff? That movie is, it's its own deal. And, I mean, all the jokes, I mean, you know, half the time we were referring to doggone Velvet as one of the folks part of the Lollipop Guild and stuff like that? I mean, just saying.
And you know what's amazing about that, Todd? I want to piggyback off that, though, if I could, because not only is it a show for – it basically hits all generations, and it hits them in different ways, and I'm going to tell you why. If you were like me or maybe Velvet, I don't know, and I get it, you guys, I don't think we're this – we'll say experimental, but there are such things you can do like play Pink Floyd's albums along with it. And what you do is at the very beginning, you know how, I don't know if it's Paramount, whatever, but you got the lion roaring. If you press play on Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon on the third lion's roar, the music will sync up to the movie. And if you're under the influence of some certain things, it will blow your mind away, almost literally. So that really? Is for those college age kids, high school, whatever, around there. So. And then you get a little bit older, you outgrow that, and then you come circle back down to reality and have kids and watch it all over again. So it's a full circle. But I love the movie.
I can see Tim now. Hold on, you can't start until I go get my mushrooms.
Hey, man, you said it, not me. I never said
hey,
anything.
Hey, listen, we don't have what they have today. Back then, we had to take drugs to go to the movie. And go to the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there was no IMAX back then. We just had to get high.
Exactly.
Sitting in front of the screen going, yes, you see how big that is? Oh.
Did you see the size of that chicken?
That. So, Tim, Todd got a good lead off there, man. What have you got?
Yeah. All right, so my second one, and I've got,
I got
a couple
nothing.
In my,
he took
in
my
pocket. I'm going to throw this one out there. And I, you know what? I should have done a date check. I think I'm safe. I'm pretty sure I'm safe, but I'm going to go with Caddyshack.
Ah, okay. Well, you got me. Caddyshack was 1980. Very good. Yes.
So does that count?
Caddyshack.
Are we going 1980 and before,
yeah,
or are we going
1980 and before? It is inclusive of 1980, Tim.
All right. Well, right. Hey, I forgot what you had let off with. There's a big difference between before 1980 and before. So I couldn't remember which one you said. All right, then. There it is. Caddyshack.
Is it?
That's a classic.
Is it just up to 1980? Is it just up to 1980 or the 80s?
Yeah,
yep.
Just up to 1980.
No,
yeah,
just
up to
1980.
Yeah, I got
1981 and later? Nope, no good.
Now, just throw something out there real quick. You know what 1980 and 2062 have in common? They're the same distance apart from where we're at right now.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
We're going to have a moment of silence, but that thing, Ken, it's like, damn, huh? So I'm just going to put my Vans back in the shoebox and get on about my business, I guess. My God, that is incredible to think about. So, Granny, do you have a report you can throw out there?
Also 1939. I don't know if that's the way you – I think you said it the other way around than what I heard it as, but 1939 is as far away to 1980 as 1980 is to now, right? Do I have that right?
Well,
that would be ironic because 1939 is the year the Wizard of Oz was made.
Yeah.
So there you go, Tim. There's your far out moment.
Heck yeah. There you go.
One of my choices is I have always been a Sam Elliott, Tom Selleck fan, and I always loved the Sackett movies back in 1979, and I believe it was.
Yeah, that's some good stuff,
Sackett
too.
Sackett movies.
You got to like
I can Sam still,
Elliott.
I still love to watch those movies back with Sam Elliott and Tom Selleck, the Sackett brothers, and
yeah, 1979. Look at you. Yeah, the miniseries.
Tom's another fine and standing citizen too. I like old Tom Selleck. He's good to go. He's all right. Good call on that one. So, Velvet, have you got one floating around in your mind there?
Oh, yeah. Animal House.
Hit me. Ah, yes.
Animal House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Doga, doga, doga.
Right.
Was that dude in the pie?
What was that?
How many marbles? Fucking hell, I forget how many marbles it was just for that parade.
Yeah, no kidding.
That whole thing when that chick is stuffing her bra and the guy's devil pops up and the devil and the angel pops up over his shoulder, still to this day, I see that and I'm just rolling. That stuff, he's sitting there, she falls back, he's got a few handful of tissues, and I'm like, God, that is funny. It's happened to every guy out there, more than one for sure. Yeah, Animal House.
Yeah, false advertisement, man. False advertisement.
That when he was in there.
Is it a surprise to anyone that Harold Ramis was one of the writers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Harold Ramis was another one of those behind the scenes guys, man. He had his hands in a bunch of stuff, and you never even known it, you know. Nah, Animal House, good call. All right, so I'm going to drift back to 1969 because it's 69. But moreover,
you said 69.
You said 69.
Here we go, going down that rabbit hole.
Yep. So here's the quote. And it hits too close to home for me, but you did it. You cut out his brain, you bloody baboon. Planet of the Apes.
Ooh.
Dude, I still get the creeps watching that movie to this day. And I was just reading this week that Charlton Heston actually hated it. When he got done with it, he considered it one of the bruises on his acting career. And when they had him in the contract to do the second plan, and none of them stacked up to the first one, of course, but he was wanting to die in the first 5 minutes. That was his big thing. But somehow or another, he was overruled because of his contract, and he only showed up in the last 5 minutes instead of the first 5 minutes, in which he died in the last 5 minutes. But nevertheless, Planet of the Apes. And not to mention, the young lady who played Nova is still one of my all-time hotties. My God. I could just watch it to the Nova part and be happy. She was a total knockout, and I feel bad because I can't remember her name, but my God. Woo! Hey, Rick, was she a woo? Yeah, she was a woo! Nevertheless.
Ha ha!
Yes, we're going to do Planet of the Apes.
Now, the original one was actually 68, brother.
Oh, shoot. Well, that kills my six. Thanks for robbing me of a 69 there, Todd.
Well, that's okay, because nope, I better let this one pass. I will actually not. I am calling midget porn on myself before I do the joke. All right.
We have an NC-17 rating, so it's open season. But nevertheless,
well, if that's the case, then, you know, women don't care about 69. They like 77. You know why? Because they get
eight more.
Gotcha.
And since Tim finished it, it makes you wonder if it's an office joke. Nevertheless, Todd,
no, I was
read me another
I was
one off
reciting
the list,
that
man.
One years ago.
Oh, no. Linda Harrison.
Yes. Nova. Yes. Major hottie. My God. Her and Lee Merriweather, when she was playing Catwoman, just stopped me right in my tracks still to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Lee Merriweather and the, well, all three of them that played the played Catwoman,
yeah,
in that series, they were like the original Pointer Sisters.
Yes. And it's something about that cat suit. I mean, I'm sure if Roseanne Barr got in, it probably wouldn't work. But, I mean, when you look at Anne Hathaway, Michelle Pfeiffer, Eartha Kitt, all those, and I'm missing, what's the third one from the 66 Batman? There was Eartha Kitt, Lee Merriweather, and, damn it.
So long, Fu Manchu, and thanks for the so
well,
long, blah, blah, blah.
Julie Newmar was Catwoman back then.
There you go. Bad Julie Newmar. Good call, Granny.
That's who
Julie
we were talking
Newmar.
About.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, with Dale being out of town this week, I think I might look on Amazon and see if I can get her a cat suit, maybe perhaps.
Wow, wow.
Have that here before she
Are
returns.
You going to dye it pink and send it to me?
Hey, I'm telling you what, man. You can't blame the guy for trying, you know what I mean? So all she could do is put the pink return label on it and take it back to the post office, you know? So enough about my desires with my lovely wife. Todd, what do you got on your net, on your list?
I was impressed, just for the record, because Granny brought up the First Western, so I was, because there's a number of Westerns out there. There's a, man, I've got, like, what I think is a pretty good list, and I'm impressed that none of you had hit anything on the list, and you've all been just crushing it. All right, the...
Flip stalling.
We've done a number of comedies. I'm going to go to, because I remember what you thought inspirationally, so I'm kind of going to jump off that, Dave. By Dave, I mean Diamond Dave here. I'm going to go with the original Godzilla from 1954, not to be confused with Godzilla from 1953, and Rodan from 1956 is like just those kaiju movies were very emotional. They had such a dark theme. They had such a story to go along with them. The, you know, the Godzilla, they were like, oh, the big monster and all that. Do you remember the angst of the decision of creating that oxygen and how to be able to destroy him? And the doctor tried to take the secret with him when he took out Godzilla and the original Rodan, how once the first one started getting taken out by the volcano, the second one went with it, and how that movie changed because you had those, I'm trying to remember the name of the little critters that started that tie in the cave, and he saw the bird eggs hatching and the critters that were in the cave and all that in the original Rodan. No, those were, man, those. Watch those movies today. You can fuss at the effects and stuff like that, but the story and what they were working with, and if you understand why Toho Studios actually went with the suits, vice the claymation routine and all that, which it was money, budget, and time to shoot the flicks, just amazing because they had talked to Harryhausen about movie stuff back in the day, but yeah. I'm going with the two of the yardstick kaiju movies, Godzilla and Rodan, 54 and 56.
Good call. And you're right, because they get a bad rap because, you know, now people all the time, you know, crack on, you know, the guy stomping all over the city and everything. But those movies were deep. And, you know, we were talking about King Kong last week, and that's what kind of got us onto tonight's show. If you watch the original King Kong, it wasn't just some slap-together monster movie. There was actually a thought behind it. I mean, what the guy was doing. And of course, if you ever have time to watch the afterbirth called The Son of King Kong, it's amazing how in the same year they could do a sequel to one of the greatest film feats of movie history and just totally shit the bed in the same year with a follow-up, because that Son of Kong, my God. God, everything that was good about King Kong, they just left off the table in this one. So, but yeah, when you talk about his Godzilla flicks, man, you're looking at some deep storytelling, man. And good stuff. Good call, Todd. Well done. So, Granny, we're going to circle back around to you, young lady. Hit me with another one on your list.
Well, I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan, too, like Clint Eastwood, and I always liked Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can with the Clyde, the orangutan, you know. I love it.
Every Which Way But Loose qualifies. You are spot on. That was on my list, hon.
Yep, I love that one. That's so funny.
As a matter of fact, HBO Max right now has a Clint Eastwood collection, and that's one of them on there. And I will be watching it in the next day or two, because that one's great. When Clyde takes a dump in that police car, that's still funny. That whole movie's great.
I was like the little old lady trying to get her driver's license, and she finally gets her drive, you know, and she's always calling Clyde an ape, and he says, "Ma, he's an orangutan."
Called him a baboon, that damn baboon, mommy's
you goddamn baboon.
Not a baboon, mom. He's orangutan. Got 13 ribs like me and you.
orangutan. 12 ribs, my ass.
Well, and everybody forgets that I forget her name that played Ma, but she had a hell of a history on screen.
Yeah, she did.
She was.
And the guy who played the leader of the biker gang, I can't remember the guy's name, the one that, we're the Black Widow, we don't take no shit. he was in all the westerns with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
He was Outlaw Josie Wales. He was running that group of Comancheros.
Yes.
Yep.
John Quaid played the biker guy.
Cholo.
The leader of the Black Widow. And Ruth Gordon was Ma.
Yeah,
that was
Ruth Gordon.
Yep. And then the guy who played his brother, Jeffrey something or other.
Jeffrey Lewis.
Yeah. He was another one that was in every day.
He has a long and stellar career.
Yep. Yeah, that was Eastwood's great. And I don't know if you've seen the trailer for that Cry Macho, that new movie he's got coming out. That one looks like it's going to be pretty badass too, man.
Let's run with that movie.
Let's jump back on that
flick real quick. That had a multiple Sandra Locke in yet another Eastwood movie. But old girl from the Vacation series that played the wife was in there, right?
Beverly D'Angelo.
Yep.
She played Echo.
She played her brother's boyfriend. Yeah, that's it. You're right. Yeah, there's a lot of people in there.
You know what? That was a lot of Eastwood movies, especially once he did a lot of the directing and stuff. He was very good about getting local and known talent, stuff like that, like Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil and all that. Sure, he had Kevin Spacey and Cusack in there, but the rest of the cast, you know, so much of the rest of the cast was no one. But that, Every Which Way But Loose, he cast heavy on that.
Yeah. That was a great flick, though. Funnier than hell.
Yeah,
so,
great
Tim,
call,
I think
Brandon.
I skipped you over, if I'm not mistaken. Did I skip you, Tim? If I did,
no,
I apologize.
No, you did. Tim gave us Caddyshack.
All right. Well, Tim, hit me with another one, if you would.
All right. I am very surprised nobody said this yet. I have got the winner, winner, chicken dinner. You guys ready for this? Are you ready for it?
Hit it.
You ready? War of the Worlds. Boom.
The original. I had that on the list of movies. And to be clear, we're not talking Tom Cruise and all that. We're talking the old school one. I had that in the category of ones. That was another one that was pretty damn dark when it came out.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you know that they used streetlights as the antennas or whatever, that were the actual ray guns, you know? They used streetlights for that.
Believable. Maximum utilization of available resources.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
You bet.
That's going to happen. Yeah, that's another one of those movies that you still watch now, and it's pretty unsettling. You know what I mean? It's you watch it, and you kind of get that, like, kind of like that same feel you get out of Planet of the Apes, where you kind of get that just creepy kind of, like, damn, you know, better leave this one alone type thing. Good call.
Yeah.
Good call on that.
And again, you're talking about everybody's hit something that stood up through the ages, not just because when I got into that series of movies, I was thinking of stuff that scared me. And I was thinking of two other ones, but they did stand up with the rat's ass. Just don't mean they scared me any less when I was a kid. You actually got one of the few that stood up, Tim. Well played.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call.
Oh.
Now, Velvet,
uh-huh.
Throw one out there for us.
Oh, yay. I actually have two, but I'm going to do the first one that I've had written down. I think both of mine beat what Tim did. Ready? Here we go. First one, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Good call. Still valid. The whole IBM thing is pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm gonna hang on to the next, but I'm not gonna say it because we're gonna keep going around the room because we're doing one at a time. So I got one.
Yep.
I know should be on everybody's list.
I got a crap on deck too that can choke a donkey.
So I've got one, but I'm going to hold it to see if Todd throws it out on the next round. If not, I'll
I know.
That's
what I'm worried about. Todd or Tim's going to throw it out.
I know Todd's probably got
I don't know.
Granny
sabotaged me already, so. Granny sabotaged me already, so. Yeah.
I like this game. This
okay,
is fun.
Time and Dave, what you got?
The next one I've got, and again, I always like to throw out the quote, but what we've got here is failure to communicate.
Absolutely.
Cool hand Luke.
Shaking the tree, boss. Shaking the tree.
Yes. Anybody up after the night's out? It's the box. Anybody caught fighting? It's the box. What a great flick. And still to this day, I mean, George Kennedy played such a great support in that movie.
And it wasn't often he played a good guy.
Right. George Kennedy was always the imposing bad guy because of his size. And he played a great sidekick in that. And the gentleman who played the warden was just everything he said, every line in that movie. It was almost as if they, kind of like when they took R. Lee Ermey and put him in the old boot camp scene in Full Metal Jacket, it's almost as if that gentleman was just like a formal warden on a chain gang. And they said, let's just have this guy play himself. Here's your lines. Just remember your lines. Newman eating the hard-boiled eggs. And the damn thing about it,
the hard-boiled eggs.
He ended up on
his stomach with the hard-boiled eggs.
Yes, and he ended up in all that shit over hacksawing tops off of parking meters. You know, it's like, ain't that something, man? Went through all that shit just over a couple change, you know? But nevertheless, yeah, Cool Hand Luke, another one of my favorites. 1967, I think. Yeah, 1967. So, Tim, or Todd, there you are. You're up.
You know what? I didn't have this one necessarily by name on the list, although it came to mind. And I think it was you going with the warden because it gave me one of my favorite cops. Because this is a whole genre. The earlier years that fit in there is we're going to – here we go. I'll try to do a variation of Dave. Now look, Sheriff, he's a secret agent. On whose side? Live and Let Die.
Oh!
John,
yeah.
That count. What are you, a one-man doomsday machine? Oh, my God. That was one of the great little side characters of Bond ever. But it gave us Roger Moore after all those years
yep.
as a saint. And the one guy that successfully followed Sean Connery and his incomparable charm. The whole bond genre of those early years. Yeah, that copy of, yeah, this is my cousin Bubba's boat coming by. The black guy had stolen the boat. Oh, man. Yeah, legendary. Legendary, the early Bond stuff, guys. I mean, Goldfinger, you name it, all that. I know I went whole genre with that, but I couldn't help it. I had to go that way after the law enforcement on
yeah.
thing.
Bond was good to go until Moonraker, and then once that hit, that was pretty much it. Bond just kind of after that one, Bond just kind of bit the dust in my book, you know. They weren't bad. They just weren't good, you know. So, and the only thing that made those Bond flicks even better is after watching Austin Powers. If you kind of go back with the Austin Powers same amount
yeah.
of watching, it makes them a little better. But, yeah, those later Bond flicks were a little – now, the Daniel Craig ones are pretty good, but they're a little over the top. But, you know, nevertheless. But good call, Todd. Well done. So, Granny, we are back to you, young lady. What's your next one?
Well, I always like 1973, The Sting, Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Oh, man. What a movie.
Damn, she just blew you out of the water, too.
Girl, that's a good flick.
Yeah,
I love that one.
That's another movie that doesn't get enough replay.
Newman and Redford had a couple good flicks. That wasn't the only one, but, yeah, that's a good flick, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, boy, wasn't Robert Shaw the bad guy in that one?
I think so.
I think so.
And he's going to feature heavily in one that I have on the list that we haven't got to yet.
Yeah, Robert Shaw is in one on my list. A little spoiler alert.
And
good call. So, Tim, we're going to kick it back your direction. Hit us with another one.
Kick rock.
Ready for this one? Here's another good one. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Ah,
there we go, 76, 77,
yeah.
76.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there, buddy.
That's another creepy flick, though. If you watch it and you're like, damn, this is kind of – because nobody was believing him. He was pulling a Dr. John.
Terrified.
Nobody would believe him. Yeah.
I was terrified when I was a kid watching that.
And then when the alien came off, he looked like a spork. It was like, oh, man. Like, yeah, something's not right here.
You know, and what makes it even better is I have been to Devil's Tower. It's pretty cool. We went to Wyoming. Yeah, my dad and I took a trip out there over the summer, a two-week trip, and that's as far west as we went, I believe. We were in Wyoming, camped it. We were in the Grand Tetons, which is pretty funny when you know what Teton stands for. I believe it's French.
Yeah, he said Tetons.
Yeah. So we journeyed over to Devil's Tower. It was pretty cool. At the time, there were people climbing it. I don't know if they can still do that or not, but, man, it was pretty cool to see that, and, you know, especially after seeing the movie and everything. So it was quite a sight.
Nice.
And that one had Richard Dreyfuss in it, which is also in the same movie. Spoiler alert.
Yep, that's exactly. On the list, brother.
Yeah. So, good call, Tim. Man, we're rocking tonight, man. You guys are all over the place. Homework has been done. Outstanding. The Velvet. Go ahead and give us notes.
Yay. Blazing Saddles.
On the list, baby. On the list. That's one of two from 74.
You know that the sheriff was a...
Because, see, now that just actually made me think of another one with Slim Pickens with his great line wasn't necessarily a word, but, yeah. That's one of those. I had that under my quotable movies.
Right. I was that one, too. It wasn't up there, but I had
that. Yeah. Don't shoot him. You'll only piss him off.
I'm going to go ahead and piggyback off of what Velvet just hit. Same year, same director, and Todd, I figured that would be number one on your list.
But remember, this was written not by the man that wrote Spaceballs. I'm just saying. The man that wrote this starred in Blazing Saddles, and people forget that with Blazing Saddles, you wonder how it was. People miss the fact that Richard Pryor was a co-writer. And he didn't get the role that Cleavon Little got Blazing Saddles because of his drug use and insurance purposes. But I know right where you're going. You're going with the other part of 1974, Diamond Dave.
Yes. And here's the quote. Damn your eyes.
Abby Normal.
Too late.
Too late.
Young Frankenstein. I'm telling you, still to this day, everybody, and we've discussed this movie a million times on this show, everybody was hitting on all cylinders in this movie. And
That was a Gene Wilder brain trust right there.
Yes, and I mean everybody. What a fantastic movie. And still to this day, whenever, you know, you listen to the 80s and Putting on the Ritz comes on, you got to hit the Putting on the Ritz. You know, you can't help it.
And understanding that the word Blücher is German for glue, which is why the horses whinnied every time it was said.
That one and Walk This Way. And he hands him the cane.
Werewolf.
Yes.
Werewolf.
Frankenstein. Why, thank you. I mean... That whole movie, and the guy who, I can't remember the guy's name, who had the arm that was messed up and nobody could understand what he was saying.
Constable throwing the dart.
Yeah. That shit was funny. But God bless old Marty Feldman, that guy right there, man. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who takes a physical, you know, I'm not going to say disability, but a physical He was different looking, but he embraced the hell out of it, just ran with it, man. And I mean, what a trip. And every picture you ever see, and of course Marty Feldman's been dead for years, but every picture you see of him, it looked like he was having the time of his life. So yeah, young Frankenstein.
He did all that work with Monty Python over the years. And oh boy, and don't forget that Gene Hackman was in there too.
Yeah. Whenever I light a cigar in the dark, I always remember that part.
Yeah.
Burning the hell out of myself, you know? Yeah, Gene Hackman actually didn't even get credit for that role. He was just in on it. And I mean, Cloris Leachman, Cary Grant.
Oh, my
God. I mean.
Yeah, it was.
And what's her name is in it, too? Who played Gene Wilder's wife? Madeline Kahn, yep. That's
Maddie
it.
Kahn.
Love that movie,
yep.
Man. All right, Todd, so I'm sure I pulled that off your list, but I couldn't hold on to that one any longer, brother.
I kept 1970. I had 1974 kind of marked as a pair, kind of like I did with the Godzilla Rodan from 1954-1956. And only because it has been less beat up on than I thought it would. Here's another whole genre, and I'm really hard pressed to take one, but I'm going to throw this one out to my brother Greg, because I asked him, and this is still listed as one of the Yardstick Westerns, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly.
Love that movie. Love that movie.
Hell yeah. Some Lee Van Cleef, baby.
Anything Clint Eastwood, then I love. Love all of them.
Yes. Yes.
You might have to say
that,
all
I
of
started writing them down. I started writing Westerns down, and I was like, oh, man, my hand is cramping because
right?
there are a bunch. There are a bunch of good ones.
Oh, there are a bunch.
But, yeah, The Good, the Bad, The Ugly,
yeah.
And that was no small production.
No.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That three-way showdown at the end was pretty damn awesome because you didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
Nope.
Yeah, the whole battle over there at the river, that was unreal. Chuck,
yeah, dude.
That was an epic scene for any movie, and that was just another scene in The Good, The Bad, The Ugly.
Well, I've said it often that, you know, and you guys heard me, I don't get shook up much when celebrities die because, you know, they never met me, I never met them. But nevertheless, there are certain celebrities that have left us that kind of ruined my day, like Sinatra and Rodney Dangerfield. But I'm going to tell you, when Clint Eastwood passes, I'm going to be out of commission for a little bit. I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, we're talking about his stuff from the 80s, 70s, and 60s. You know, the stuff that he's, Gran Torino. I've been told more than once that Gran Torino is going to be me in another 10 years. I just walk around, you know, because, and Todd, you've been around me enough.
Drink beer and cuffing,
you know,
everybody.
Yeah, and I'm out there, goddamn savages, you know. He brings the Oriental lady and his dog is a don't-eater, you know.
Well, what's fascinating about him is the fact that he just put a movie out.
Yeah, and he's still going at it. As a matter of fact,
Run, Velvet, with this. Just remember to come back to me, please.
My thing is, this is what you wanted to do your whole life. You wanted to be an actor. You get complacent after a while, and then you quit, and then you decide to come back for one more, and it turns into crap. He never stopped working. He never stopped directing. He never stopped being in front of the camera and behind the camera. He did it his entire life.
He did a mirror somewhere in between.
But I'm saying, these people that, you know, oh, I'm in the movie, I'm a movie star. Where you been for 30 years? You know, you quit.
And you know the guy, he fought in Korea, for God's sake. You know what I mean? And if you ever heard the story about him, where he actually was shot down and swam away in the whole damn nine yards, I mean, an amazing guy. And if you ever get a chance, his son.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to go back to me here before we let you sidetrack me. One of his first roles was as a fighter pilot. He was doing some dive bombing. It was in that old movie Tarantula. His old team was up there in the cockpit of the pilot at the end of the flick where the Air Force came in and blew up the giant tarantula in the desert.
No kidding. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I'll be damned.
Tiny, tiny little thing. Hey, you got to get your break somewhere, baby.
Yeah.
How do you like that one?
And if you ever seen his son, Scott Eastwood, he's almost a clone of Clint. I mean, the way he talks, the way he holds himself and everything. But he was on Joe Rogan's podcast a little while back, and he was talking about Joe Rogan and asked him, what was the first movie that you saw your dad in? And he said, Unforgiven. And Joe Rogan says, oh, Christ, dude, you broke in hard, didn't you? And he said, yeah. He said it was amazing. He says, because he's my dad. To everybody else, he's Clint Eastwood. To me, he's dad. And he says, I see him on that film, and it's just totally blowing me away. He said, I think I was like 10, 12 years old when I first saw it. He said, but Clint Eastwood had written that thing, had written that story years and years ago and had sat on it. And Scott had said, he had asked him one time, he goes, why'd you wait so long to put the movie out? And Clint told him, I wasn't old enough to play it yet. How amazing is that, where you can write something and say, okay, when I get to be this age, I'm going to make this movie. And Unforgiven's got to be one of the greatest Westerns. It was the last. I mean, we had Tombstone and Unforgiven were probably the last two good Westerns that have been out there. But Unforgiven.
Yeah, Tombstone's another one that we can't put on the list here.
Yeah, unfortunately. Fantastic movie.
Funny, I'm going to use a kid's name here, me thinking of his dad, and that's where I'm going to go to my next one. You ready? I was, since Scott was a kid, and I was thinking, Scott Callum came to mind, and because you were talking about looking a lot like dad and all that, I went to James Caan, and Godfather jumped to mind.
Yes, one and two. You got to put them together. They were both brilliant.
Yeah, the Godfathers, if you will.
Yes.
When was the second one written?
72.
Or released, I should say. Okay.
Yeah, 72.
Oh, yeah, that was way before 80 if you were trying to catch me on that one.
Well, I genuinely didn't know. I had no idea, to be quite honest.
You set aside the obvious, you know, the Star Wars, Indiana Jones flicks as, you know, your favorite flicks. That's kind of a given. But I'm telling you, The Godfather 1 and 2 have got to be some of the greatest, if not the greatest, films. When you talk about movies that had it all, you had the soundtrack. As a matter of fact, Todd, I don't know if you made the show or not. We're in Raleigh. And Anthony Dowling's wife was playing the Godfather theme on the piano. Dude, it made
the hair
stand up on your neck. I mean, it was the whole place went quiet when she started doing it. She was just grab-assing and started playing stuff. And when she played the Godfather theme, everything just got real quiet. And, just brilliant freaking movie, man. Again, another one of those ones where huge cast, everybody hitting on all cylinders. Leave the Ghost.
You know, one of the old girl, Rocky's wife, Adrian.
Yes.
She was in there.
Talia Sire. Yep. Well, I'll go ahead and dump it there. Rocky was another one on my list, but we'll move past that.
Man. That was a well-played quick spoiler, yes.
Yeah, that was
even a spoiler. That was a nice drive-by, dude.
Yeah, we'll drop that here and haul ass type thing. So drive-by referencing. So who's up? I think Grant's
okay,
up, right?
Okay, we'll bring it, baby. You owe us one. I'm waiting for you to go back to the one that you and I have both ended to repeatedly.
Oh, we're talking about the big shark. We're talking about the one that scared the piss out of me, literally speaking, back years ago. I don't give a shit.
We're going to need a bigger boat, baby.
I still watch Jaws now, and I'm like, dude, that is the reason why I don't get any more than shin deep water. That there, right there. I don't give a damn what you tell me.
Hey,
start staying in this kind of water.
No,
I don't give a shit.
Listen, there were more shark sightings in the last 3 years, and now this year is going to take the cake out of the last 10. They're getting closer and closer to the shore, but we had a lot this year here in South Carolina, a lot.
Yeah,
and they were in
deep water. Didn't somebody just die from a shark attack?
I don't know, but I know that there was a lot of tiger sharks in waist-deep water this year. The great whites stay about 10 to 15 miles off, and that's still too close for them. But
exactly.
The tiger sharks have been coming in closer and closer.
And they're not even the dangerous one, and you all talk about the freshwater. Let me tell you, people forget how far up the Mississippi they see bull sharks. In Australia, caught landlocked bull sharks.
Yeah.
It's freaking insane.
We're depleting their feeding areas, so they got to find
food. And that's exactly what's happening. Yep. Yep, and they're coming
guess
inland.
What?
And
if you moving around like a ding-ding in the water and you got something on that they like or whatever, like me, I'm stupid. I wear a red bathing suit with things hanging, you know, like tie straps that are hanging off of them. I look like a jiffy piece of meat.
Yeah.
You know? Ding-ding.
Yeah, dude.
Well, Velvet, you're not supposed to go in there when you're raw, just saying.
I know, right?
You got to heal up a little bit before you get out there in the water.
Yeah, right.
Look, put some hydration on it, just saying.
You direct the traffic. I'm going to go refresh my drink while you're directing. I think Granny was up next. Were you not, young lady?
Yeah, Granny's up next. Oh, I guess so.
Girl.
Well,
what you got, girl?
Let's talk about scary movies, you know. How about Psycho and the Birds?
Yes.
I mean, you know.
That's all that
oh, my
on my
God.
List.
You just went yardstick twice.
Good job, Granny.
Twice. You doubled down. I'm going yardstick.
I have to
X
that one off my list.
Yeah, that was a big hit right there.
Do you realize what a list she brought up? Anything Hitchcock related?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a long list of flicks that stood up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Granny. Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, she's being brutal.
I am being brutal tonight, you know?
Is it getting back to us? Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
That's kind of what I thought. This
You know, I gotta get even for the roasting that you all gave me, you know, before my birthday, you know, so.
Oh, come on. You never had it before. And how many people did you tell that story to since then?
Oh, honey, let me tell you, I have been roasted so many times. It's unreal. I mean, you know, so guys, what you did to me was nothing compared to some of the things I had done to me.
We will keep that in mind.
I just came up with some good choices for movies, you know.
You absolutely did.
You're crushing it.
I will tell you, any flock of birds, tell me y'all, don't anybody that's ever seen damn birds hasn't had that moment. Wasn't that Kim? Was it, or was that not Kim Hunter in that?
No, that was Tippi Hedren.
I think it was a 3D movie,
Tippi
wasn't
Hedren.
It?
Okay. Because I was thinking, her and Kim Hunter remind me of one another. Kim Hunter was in Planet of the Apes.
Tippi Hedren was so bad, it ruined her career. Because Hitchcock screwed with her head so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times when he put, like, phony birds in there. He told her, hey, we're going to have the birds fly down the line and then put actual birds in there. I mean, the stuff that he did to that young lady was just hateful as hell, man. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yep.
Was that movie 3D? When I went to Universal Studios, they had, I don't know if they still do, because this was back when I was, like, I don't know, 13, but they had a whole Alfred Hitchcock kind of tour that you could go on to. It was freaking fascinating. It was amazing. And part of it, they had, you know, they showed you a lot of how they made the birds and things like that, and they had like a short movie that you could watch, but they had it in 3D. And I was curious if the actual movie itself was in 3D, because I'm telling you what, even though you knew you were putting glasses on and you were just watching a two-dimensional screen, it freaked you out. Because, I mean, they were flying, like, right in your face, like you were dodging out of the way. It was bizarre.
Yeah, anything
that
gets caught,
they did not scar those seats.
Yeah.
What's all these brown stripes on the seat? That's interesting upholstery.
Yeah.
Everybody's skidding up the seats, you know? Good call. Well played. And by the way, this final segment of the show is sponsored by Crown Royal Vanilla.
Oh, Crown Royal Vanilla.
Oh, yeah.
That and Imodium AD. Go ahead. I hear a shot coming. Go ahead.
Call Granny Bird's damn.
I'm
going to
take
one
off your list next. That's why I'm waiting.
Oh, go, Pelvic.
You ready?
You're going to take mine.
The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I deliberately did not put that on the list because to me it was an obvious choice. And do people know what it came from?
Obviously.
No.
You know that was a Japanese movie that got turned into a Western, The Seven Samurai.
Oh, that's right. So
if you really want to watch something, and The Seven Samurai still stands up, because I don't know if you realize what a double coupon you just did with that one. And yes, I just said coupon.
The Seven Samurai was directed by John Sturges.
Was it really?
Yep. Yes, it was. I know that one because I wrote that down.
Oh, look at you. Somebody was doing their homework.
Son, everybody comes to the front.
This is what happens when people actually have a clue what the hell we're going to do on the show. Because let me tell you, the crew is bringing it tonight.
Yeah.
Yes,
this is
are.
A full contact spelling bee tonight, man. Well done.
I know. I lost three off my list, and I'm down to, like, two.
Still, though, man, we are slaying it, man.
Yep,
so,
yep.
So, Tim, I would believe by your reaction or no reaction that you were not pilfered by Velvet. So what was the next one on your list?
I'm going to try to think of a follow suit here with how Dave, I think it was you that presented yours with some quotes, but there's like a whole shit ton of them in this next one. So I guess the one that would best match up with me is I'll go with this. I know everyone's going to get it right away. There are some who call me Tim.
Monty Python.
Search for the
yeah.
Holy Grail. Or is it Holy Grail?
Yeah. Yes.
Monty Python. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. I dropped a hint earlier. Yes, Monty Python
yeah.
and the Holy Grail team.
The whole killer rabbit scene. If you're even remotely inebriated, that scene will just put you on the damn floor every freaking time.
Oh, yeah.
That
yes.
was plant one.
Yes, the whole thing. The whole bit. I sold my armor. Or I sold the armor. And then I did it again.
Yes.
I think
he
the first time I saw that, what actually made me cry, I mean, I cried about peed my pants. And again, kind of like Dave said, I think you just be inebriated for it. I don't know. But it was the part where the guy's charging the castle, and it's got the drum roll, and they're kind of looking out in the distance. And then you see him again, but he's like, you know, he's still in the same spot. And then all of a sudden, he's right there.
That
oh,
and the Frenchman. Where he hits in the, I fart in your general direction.
Direction.
And your mother smells of elderberry.
Elderberry, you know. Your father was a gerbil and your mother smells of elderberries.
He's a witch.
You don't have to get into English humor to like that one. That's one of those movies that just kind of gets you no matter whether you're into Monty Python or not. That movie is funnier than shit. Yeah.
I will go back. I know y'all see the profile picture, but Gary and Kana, she was tiny as shit. And she was like, I'm going to do Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I think Garion had skipped at least one, maybe 2 years of trick-or-treating. He was done. And he was like, if she wants to do King Arthur from the Holy Grail, he goes, you give me the coconut and the Nate suit, and I will go with her as her costume. And he sure as shit did. He was either in eighth or ninth grade. He did that. He was like, I don't care. And he sure as shit with the coconuts. Right there with her.
That movie was hysterical.
Sure
as a matter of fact, Rob is 22 and watches that movie regularly and laughs his ass off every time he watches it. Yeah. Yeah, he was watching
That's another one under the quotables. We are the knights who say,
The whole coconut.
We are
brave Sir Robin.
But you have no honor.
Ran away
you
bravely or whatever the hell.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yes.
It's every speed of a speed of a swallow. African or European? I don't know. I don't know.
She turned me into a newt. I got that.
Yeah, no, I'm not dead yet. He will be.
I'm not dead yet. I'm feeling better.
But you have no arms and no legs.
Oh,
flesh wound.
It's only a flesh wound.
Oh,
my God.
Come near me. I will find you.
And if you recall, in National Lampoon's Vacation, when they ran over Eric Idle on the bike, and he got up and he goes, He goes, "Are you hurt?" And he goes, "Oh, no, it's just a flesh wound." Like, way to sneak one in there, man. Well,
yeah, what a great shot.
We got to hurry up because I got another one.
All right, so I'm going to throw my next one out there real quick because the quote's real easy because there are no quotes at all. 1922, silent film, Nosferatu, that bald-headed, jacked-up looking vampire. I'm telling you what.
Yes.
You would think that a silent film couldn't get under your skin. Watch that movie. In the dark.
Oh, great. Is that a vampire biting through the neck and getting under his skin? Yeah, I see what you did there.
God. And then what was even worse is when they come out with that movie, Shadow of the Vampire, that Willem Dafoe was in, where they did the kind of the background behind the movie and everything. I mean, that was even creepier in hell, too, how the guy actually thought he was a vampire. Yeah, Nosferatu, still to this day. I mean, it's
yeah.
an hour-long silent film. Make your skin crawl. Scary stuff, dude.
Look. Oh, okay. And I know Velvet had some stuff up here. Let me talk about the silent films. Dave, you and I had gone into the place, what was it, Fifth Street, Charles and Fifth, or whatever the hell that was, Fifth and Charles. So, and Diamond Dave, to be clear, and I found some, not Chaplin, what was the other guy that was so good with the silent films, comedy?
Oh, God.
I had to ask Diamond Dave to read it for me, and I took that stuff home. Look, a whole nod to silent films. Silent films. I'm jumping over to the thing to look at silent film comedy actors. But silent films, there were some great stuff.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
Not Chaplin.
Yeah. No, there was another guy.
Hold
Not
on.
Patty Arbuckle. There was...
Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton. Buster Keaton. I found a three-film CD, and I was like, and I think I caught the Buster Keaton on the thing, and it said it was a bunch of stuff. And I was like, Dave, come here. I can't bring my glasses. And he had to read that crap for me. And I bought it on the spot, took it back, and let me tell you, Mama was really happy. Buster Keaton is her comedy guy. Look, silent films. Stan Laurel, Oliver Hardy, Buster Keaton,
oh, yeah.
Freaking Charlie Chaplin. Let me tell y'all, movies that can stand up the test of time, Diamond Dave brought up the whole silent film genre. There is some stuff there that is seriously underrated.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's hard to find because if I recall, the studio burned down and all the films were burned in the fire. So a lot of that older stuff was kind of lost in the because it ain't like it is now where everything's digital and there's so many downloads and, you know,
right.
files kept and everything.
Oh, and they got all the stuff saved in caves and everything else, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, nowhere near that kind of stuff. And the studio burnt down with the films in it. And a lot of fantastic stuff went up in that fire. Damn shame. Yes, because the silent movies were good.
Yeah, Buster Keaton. Velvet. We ran
Yo.
The hell over. Get up out of it's only a flesh wound. Get up out of the road. It's your turn.
Okay. Oh, it is? Well, I have to go with The Amazing Velvet's favorite movie of all time.
Uh-oh.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ah!
That Look, and it's not just a watch at home movie. You can still find that theatrical production version in the theaters with the cast around it.
And here in Charleston, every few years they play it at a select theater, and everybody comes dressed up and they act out the whole thing. Now, we used to have a theater here that you could get the ticket, a beer and a popcorn, actual beer to go into the movie theater and for this picture. It was freaking awesome, dude. Loved it. Loved watching everybody clown around, man. It's so good. You know, and everybody forgets, you know, everybody who was really in that movie that was somebody, like Susan Sarandon, especially, and everybody knows who Tim Curry was doing. And a little side note, people you probably would forget would be Meatloaf and Rufus Collins.
What was this guy that played the boy? He was the mayor and everything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just...
Barry Bostwick? Something like that?
Barry Bostwick, yeah. I mean, you got so many people that were in that movie that, you know, you're like, okay, you can't believe they were in the movie, but it did stand the test of time, and people still watch it to this day. They still have it at colleges, you know. They still do it. I mean, it still makes its rounds to this day. So, I mean, that's a cult classic.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. You were digging deep there. Guys, I hate to say this crap. We're pushing 23 minutes after the 10. And we haven't spent...
Let Tim go real quick. Go, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say I got one more. I don't need to go next, but I got one more. I want to get out.
Ah, hit it.
We're ready for it?
Hit it.
For God's sake, we're 23 after, please.
All right, here's my quote for it.
Here's Johnny.
The Shining.
Johnny.
There you go.
That was another one where they threw Shelley Duvall so bad that she can't.
That was on my list, too.
You know, she was never the same. I mean, you see her now, man. It's like, I mean, she wasn't much to look at then, but, I mean, you look at her now, and that movie just stayed with her. She never recovered from that role.
Well, what was her only recovery? Damn, you know what? Was Popeye after that or before?
That was after.
After,
I
think.
Yeah, that was way after.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, Popeye was a missed opportunity.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing like being a little kid and watching The Shining. And, you know, you're not paying attention to all of it, so you're not totally freaked out yet. And then you think there's going to be a gratuitous nude scene, you know, and he's walking in and sees that chick, and you're like, oh, yeah, here it comes. You know, you're a little kid, you're anticipating it. And then it's that nasty god-awful. Oh, that was so traumatizing.
Yeah.
My wet were never the same after that.
Yes. Then you turn out like velvet after seeing that.
Hey, listen, don't knock it till you try it, honey.
exactly, Bella, because after that one, Kim was going, you know you like it.
Oh,
that's funny.
So here's one we'll throw out there before we go into extra innings. Next week we can do this again, or what we can do is do the anti list and do a list of movies that didn't hold up and, you know, you thought were cooler than hell back in the day, and you watch them now, and you're like, God,
Flash.
Jesus.
Gordon.
I think Flash Gordon is still iconic to this day. Flash Gordon. I'm sorry. I'm a Flash Gordon buff. I still love that movie.
No, the soundtrack, yes, the movie. Other than the stump scene.
Yes, with 007, Timothy Dalton. Yeah. That was another movie that had a ton of people in it that never seemed to. You had Max von Sydow. You had Timothy Dalton. You had Brian Blessed. I mean, there were some people in that one, too. My favorite one was Clitus, though. The guy whose face never moved. He was funnier than shit. He was great. But, yeah, we can do, because Lord knows I could put together a list of movies, and maybe we'll extend it to 1990 to give us a little bit more, because
yeah,
it's hard to call some of the...
Well,
yeah,
you know what?
Because
the 80s had a lot of crappy movies.
Yes. Yeah, and they had a lot of awesome movies, too, no less.
But they still had some stinkers.
Yes, they did. Or ones that were cool as hell then, and you watch it now, and you're going, dude, I can't get through this. So
right.
Why don't we do that next week? We'll do anything from 1990 or earlier. So, again, we can go to the beginning of film all the way up to 1990.
Yep.
And these were ones that you watched that you used to think was cool, but now you watch it and you're like, let me just stare at the wall. And we'll go in the opposite direction.
Okay. And I have a counter option. Or maybe bring a guest in or two on this. We can go back to dad jokes. We haven't done it since Father's Day. That's another one that is just freaking loaded.
I got a third option.
Go ahead.
We can promote the match between Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet and Soul Patrol, which will happen next weekend. Not this weekend, but the following. And we can get all four participants. We get all four participants. Listen, we did it Sunday, and I'm going to tell you something. That, if y'all go back and listen to any bits and pieces of that, it was off the chain from the time the Blog Talk Radio said, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, until the time we didn't stop talking and going at it. The entire show, a whole hour.
I like that idea, and I got it, dude. I told Tim the truth about why I slept through the show. And I know we're going to go an extra inning, so Dave, go do what you got to do. So I had come back with one of those from the grocery store, taking baked pizzas, you know, the standard whole family size thing.
Yeah.
And I had some extra, you know, some pepperoni and some smoked provolone and stuff like that.
Woo!
And I seasoned, you know, extra oregano, extra, you know, basil, some granulated garlic, some granulated onion. I topped it off a little more, cooked it, and I cut it, like, into all the little squares. You know, I cut it three ways, nothing triangle. I cut it all three ways this way and three ways the other. So you get the tiny little corner pieces and work your way in. I ate a whole damn family-sized pizza over, like, of course, 45 minutes or an hour.
And he went to sleep. And guess what happened? He went to sleep.
I went into a food coma. I had the alarm set to get up to the show, and I even set up a third alarm just in case, and I turned every one of them off. I woke up at like midnight going, oh, my God.
I
ate a whole freaking family-sized pizza myself.
Yeah. Jeez, Manetti. I remember those days.
I was going to say, nowadays when I eat like that, I don't buy the food. I just rent it out. Because...
Oh, I paid for it, yes.
Yeah.
It's like Taco Bell.
Yes.
it was a little more than that, but, man, it was,
God is the man.
Yep.
But if anybody goes back and listens to any piece of that show from Sunday, you're going to be like, holy crap.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. Can we get that one locked on?
I'll let you know by Friday.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
and
let me know.
Because if we get everybody back on, then yeah. Because I'm going to tell you something. Y'all ain't going to be – it's going to be on. I don't think anybody's going to ask any questions unless you say, hey, shut up.
No, because if I recall when we had everybody on for the Hall of Fame, I pretty much made two or three introductions, and then from the next hour and a half,
yeah,
I cleaned house.
It was – well, I'm going to tell you something. If you got questions, you might want to say, all right, hold up. We got to say something, because if not, it's going to be freaking – all hands on deck. Me and I'm gonna tell you something, Granny. If you come on, you're gonna be like, "Holy crap, I'm out of show," because it's gonna be like you being out of show.
So you know, the easy way when you can tell when we're addressing you on that show will be like, "Bitch, please."
Right? Hey, listen. Tommy Feather said to them Sunday, he goes, I respect y'all. I love you. I had my first match with Dion, and now Dion's going to have my last match. He goes, I love you so much. I hung your picture up on my wall right next to RuPaul's. That shit was funny.
Jesus.
That
damn
shit was funny. I was like, holy shit. It was great, though. It was great. But if you listen, I'll let you know by Friday if it's a go. If it's not, then we'll do, you know, whatever. I'm down with the movie thing, the worst movies too. So, but let me see what the guys say, because I know Preston, Tommy Feathers is a truck driver. I don't know what Wednesday will entail for him at this point, because like he called me today.
You know, honestly, back pocket this one. That is a economical discussion with some of the rules and regulations going on with the various truck drivers. Part of the things on your petrol prices are they can't find the qualified truck drivers, people that'll do it in that. We could have Tommy on in a professional capacity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We can do that after there's another
hook.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, he, and if I needed to, I could get a guy on the other side.
Right.
That would be interesting to hear how much the change this year in leadership has affected guys like truck drivers, especially with the price of gas and,
you got to look at the companies, fleets versus owner-operators. Owner-operators are getting killed.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you're a big company,
they got nobody to fall back on.
Right, because if you got a big company and they get, like in South Carolina, get a tax break, then yeah, but if it's another state, no, they're not getting a break.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be interesting to hear.
Oh, yeah, some of the state-to-state taxes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, before we sign off for the evening, I've got to say it. Got a very important day happening tomorrow. And, Todd, this will probably blow your socks off, but nevertheless, tomorrow my oldest two grandkids, Alicia and Alea, my two twin beautiful granddaughters, are turning.
Just for the record, before you even say this, I already know I ain't going to like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be happy, don't get me wrong, but this is just going to, well, why am I going to know I'm going to hurt more waking up in the morning just having this information?
You're not alone. As a matter of fact, it seemed like just last week I was screaming, you're what? Trying to scream the fertilized eggs out of my daughter. But they will be turning 16 tomorrow.
Wow.
And
happy birthday, girls.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, girls, but oh, hells no.
Yes.
No.
That's why
Gail is up there in D.C. right now celebrating with them. She spent the week up there for their 16th. And I'm going to tell you, these young ladies are not only knockouts, but they're athletic. They are top five in their class.
Nice.
I like it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff they're doing is absolutely phenomenal. And they make the old man proud. And I tell you what.
Well, I'm stressing the old on this part because that ain't no joke because, yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, you know, that's amazing. These young people, some of these young people that actually paid attention, learned something, know right from wrong, know how to take care of themselves, you know, that's awesome. Like my niece. We knew she wanted to play soccer in college, and she wanted to go to Clemson. Well, that didn't happen. She ended up getting a scholarship at Erskine, and she's a freshman, and she's a starting forward.
Just destroying it.
As a freshman.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Digging
so,
it.
Your twins are going to do the same thing. They're doing it already. They're ready. They're with her. That's what I'm saying. You got to be thankful for the kids that are doing right. Because
let me throw something out here, guys, and this is something that's driven me nuts for a while. I feel like I hear a lot of excuses, vice results.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, all these people say, well, my teacher this, my teacher that. Well, give me a class, a picture of every class you were in, every student you were in. Are you going to tell me that none of your classes had honor students and all the teachers that you went with?
Please.
None of them
please.
Had honor students. None of those students excelled. None of those students had good grades. None of those students didn't have a police record. All that kind of stuff. I know that was kind of like the extreme list on it, but it's, you know what? Give me results. Not excuses, because there's
more giving excuses than the ones that are making it, like your grand twins, my kids, my nieces. I mean, come on, it's how you raise them, it's how they're being raised and being taught. And you know what? Don't give excuses. I'm big on that too. I'm with you on that. Don't give me an excuse, because if you're giving me an excuse, that means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rob, my son, being vision impaired, and I discussed this with Todd at the beginning of the week, last Saturday, my son, that's vision impaired, received his conceal and carry license and went out and purchased a very nice
what he needed. I'm overriding you here on purpose.
Ah, very good.
He purchased what he needed.
And he and when he shot a 99.3 on the test, and he could have very easily walked around saying, oh, I can't see shit and the world's gonna bite me in the ass and I was born behind the eight ball. And nah, this young man is taking the bull by the horns. And
I was born behind the eight ball and I'm still behind it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've got nobody to blame but I got nobody to blame but myself for my shortcomings, because my folks did absolutely everything.
Wait a minute. Are y'all teasing me because I was born in a bar behind a pool table?
Oh, damn.
At least it wasn't a cab or something like that. Yeah.
Right,
I mean, it helped.
The back seat of a cab.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I remember one time you got all these forms to fill out for employment. And they say place of birth, I put vagina. Boy, that caused all kinds of consternation.
Oh, boy.
Jeez, my name.
Is that a commonwealth?
Oh, my God.
The commonwealth of vagina?
Listen, I'm glad you said that, and Tank wasn't on this call because he lives there.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I know where you went with that.
Listen, I'm gonna hang up if he's on this call.
You drank him onto that damn call too, because I tell you what, I love me some tank. You guys know some of the damn stories where I was acting like I was giving him heat, and I was yelling at him, tell your dad thanks for serving, and he's yelling back, and he was just doing some general yelling back, and I'm still getting a wink. That's tank. People don't necessarily get all that stuff, but dude, those guys are listening on so many different levels.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you guys. Without a doubt.
I love this show, y'all. I love this show. We can't stop this anytime. Got to keep going.
Got to keep getting it. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to punctuate
today's
the one
over.
We're in right now.
Today's over, but that's okay.
Salty British broad is going to be getting in there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to walk back in to Atwell Manor here. And
that's it while he's doing that. We got to do an ultra-quick roundtable. Brandy, you're up.
I just hope that everybody has a great week, and it was an awesome show and lots of fun tonight.
Absolutely. Ditto. I don't have a guest yet for pro wrestling interviews on Sunday night at 9 p.m., but there will be one. It'll be posted soon.
Sure.
I got to give a shout-out to the guys at Tire Discounters who helped me out tonight, man. They basically looked at my car and identified that I needed brakes without charging me a dime. And that's not really what I want to advertise, because I'm sure they want business. But I told them I'd give them a plug. So Tire Discounters, the guy that I worked with, his name is Josh here in Westfield, Indiana. But anyway, great group of guys. That's who I recommend for tires. Over.
They didn't ask you, but they did. Look,
and
take care of yourselves. Stay smart.
Yes.
And take care of one another. Diamond Dave.
Yes. And we thank everybody for joining us this evening. One hell of a good show. And look forward to the next show, no matter how we do it. But again, wishing Alicia and Alea, my wonderful granddaughters,
happy
a wonderful
birthday.
16.
Happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday, kids.
And keep the guys away from the house. Keep both hands on the wheel and no texting while you're driving, damn it. Pop's watching.
That's right.
Well, my advice to them is, kids, when you're dating, if you drink, drive, don't park, accidents cause people.
Yes. And when people ask you to be productive, they don't want you to be reproductive. So, damn it. Fly straight. Pop is watching. And if you don't think I don't have one of them crystal balls like on the damn Lord of the Rings, think again.
Oh, yep.
I know
exactly.
Everything.
I got eyes everywhere.
I've got
eyes
everything.
Everywhere.
And skip it. So with all that being said, again, love you guys. Much obliged for the
all
assist tonight. Well done. And we will talk to everybody next week here on.
Yep.
Soda, yogurt, celebrities, otherwise known as Pop Culture Stars. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Night all.
Good night, all.
Big hugs.
Good night, son. Good night, John Boy.
Salty British lady, where are you at?